Stop by discovertheforest.org, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
What are people up to in town? Find out on Out There Wednesday afternoons from 4 to 5 on Valley Free Radio for live encounters from the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond. We don't care if we live out of date. We don't care if we're a little bit late. Gonna make a scene between me and you on my rocking bicycle that's built for two. We don't... So thanks for tuning in today. It's Wednesday, January 18th. Today's show, I have some clips from Monday's events in downtown Northampton. It was Martin Luther King's Day, and so I have just some random things. I have Devin and Lynn, who were passing out signs around town. It's part of the Good Neighbor Project. They'll talk for a couple of minutes about that. The signs that say, welcome, we're glad you're our neighbor. Sorry, I forget what they say. The clips will go into that. I also have a clip from Karen, who lives in Northampton, who's expects to be having refugees come live with her shortly. And my housemate Clarissa Lyons, talks about the ride share that she's involved with and giving rides to people who need rides through the Farm Worker Organizing Committee, I believe. And Carol Lewis talks about Surge and how she got involved and some of the things that Surge is doing. Surge stands for Showing Up for Racial Justice. And also, tomorrow, Thursday, is the Homelessness Marathon on radio stations around the country, including this one. And so I have an interview with Dwayne Rainey telling some of his story about years that he was homeless. And announcements and such. I haven't organized those yet, so I'm just going to start with the Good Neighbor Project. This is Devin.
Well, so when I've been biking around town, I've seen these signs that are orange, blue, green. And in green, they say, no importa de donde eres, estamos contentos que seas nuestro vecino. And in English, it says,
no matter where you are from, we're glad you're our neighbor.
And then in Arabic, anyone read Arabic?
Same thing.
So Devin, do you know where these signs, what do you know, where are these signs coming from?
I guess these signs are coming from Virginia. There's a Mennonite community down there who had them printed up, and then a couple of our friends saw them on the internet and had decided to print some up here and distribute them around the neighborhood, and I think the co-op, River Valley Co-op, is going to start selling them. So that would be really great if people could stop by there and grab one, put it on their lawn. Get one for their neighbor, maybe, or their friend in another place, that'd be even better. Mm-hmm. Like another town, kind of. This is just the beginning of something here.
Yeah. This is Lynn Bowmaster, who's been doing the signs.
The signs are a way for us to meet people right where they are and talk about something that's good about our community together and our country. So that's why we're asking people to put signs up at their door.
You ever feel shy about it?
A little shy, but no, I think that I believe that people have so much in common and that they have a common ground and that the sign asks people, you know, if they want to say that to other people and say it in different languages. So I think that's the reason why people want to put the sign up. And it gives us a chance to ask people to think about whether they stand for that. It's one of the most important things about the sign. So we hope to be getting out to communities all over Western Massachusetts with a sign and talking to people at the door.
How can people get a sign?
Well, thank you for asking that. People can get a sign very soon by going to River Valley Co-op. And people can help who are interested in participating in conversations with people by contacting Good Neighbor Project on Facebook and at goodneighborswmass@gmail.com. And that's where volunteers can contact us.
That was Lynn Bowmaster. She and Michael Doctor involved in this Good Neighbor Project, among other people. It's interesting, when I was emptying downtown trash barrels this morning, Wednesday morning, I saw there's actually an article on the front page of the Gazette that has to do with these signs. and some people not liking them. Anyway, yeah, it's important to speak up to welcome our neighbors, ourselves. I had something else in mind. Oh, yeah, I was thinking today about the idea of, is anyone who, trespasses considered illegal? Anyone who breaks a crime, who, speeds, are they illegal? I have to formulate my thoughts a little bit more on that. But next, I'm going to play. Where am I? Okay, so here's someone who's receiving refugees into her home soon in Northampton.
My name is Karen Hess,
and I
live across the street from Smith Vocational High School on Locust Street, and I have a mother-in-law apartment as part of my house, which for many years I rented out, and then I've been into an Airbnb, and then there have been a number of articles in the paper about refugees and housing them, but it always said family, so I didn't think that I would be, only have a studio, so I didn't think I could help. Yeah. And then there was an article, maybe it's as long as 2 months ago now, that said they were looking for 2 studio apartments. So right away I called. My husband and I talked it over, and we really felt I have a relationship to the Middle East through my travels having to do with archaeology years ago when I was young, long time ago. But my husband really felt that America, even though we're not involved in the conflict in Syria, is directly at fault and causative in many of the situations in the Middle East. And that one way that we as Americans could be helpful would be to take in a refugee. So that's what we're going to do. And it's already furnished. They're not asking for a furnished apartment, the Catholic Charities that's arranging this, but we happen to have a furnished apartment, so we're offering our furniture and, housewares and things like that.
Wait, do you know why they wanted 2 studio apartments? Is it an individual that's coming, or do you know who's coming?
We don't know who's coming yet, and we will get either between 2 days and a month's notice. It all depends on how things filter through the State Department. But we do know that 51 refugees are coming to this area through Catholic Charities. We just asked. I said, is it appropriate to ask? I would take any refugee. I want to be helpful, but I just have a particular relationship to Syria, and I'm also angered at the way that Muslims are treated in this country and the distrust, and so I wanted to make a stand against that, and my husband really wanted to make a stand against that, so we're actually looking forward to having somebody come.
So I just heard you mention a minute ago about when the first families might be arriving. What are you for?
I only because I have a friend who has lives in a community that has a circle of caring. So if you don't have a place to house a refugee, that you can join a circle of caring, which will help from anything from helping them shovel their snow, teaching them language, helping with homework if it's a family, bringing food to get them established, all these kind of things. So she and I have been speaking about the fact that we have this refugee relationship. And so she heard that there are 2 brothers that are going to be arriving in the next 4 weeks.
From the Congo?
From Congo, I believe. From the Burundi refugee camp.
How do you think the refugee living with you will change your life?
I'm sure it will change my life in a big way, because the likelihood is they will know nothing of my language. They probably have been through some pretty harrowing experiences. I've actually had a somewhat difficult life, and it's nothing compared to what these people are going to go through. Our household will probably get a couple that will come because we have a studio. I can't even imagine what their life has been like, you know. So, and the opportunity to be able to be helpful, you know.
Yeah.
People, I actually have a friend who came from South Africa many, many, many years ago, and he always speaks about how important it was the people who helped in the steps along the way, you know. So
yeah, especially when you're new, when everything is new, it's just such a critical time period, it seems like.
Actually, some people will come in who know the language of the person that moves in, and they will label every single thing in the apartment with two languages to help them to orient. And in the beginning, we won't be able to communicate. So that's quite a life-changing thing.
Yeah. So I have one more question. Like, will they be paying rent to you all?
So what they asked, what the Catholic Charities asked, is that either you donated your apartment entirely or that you took half of what, or less than half, mm-hmm. of what you would normally charge in rent. So all the people who are having refugees come, probably most of them are taking half of what they would usually charge in rent.
For how long?
They ask that you commit for a year.
So. Thanks.
You're welcome.
So that was an interview with Karen. I'm sorry, I forgot her last name. But who will be receiving a refugee couple or family soon into her home in Northampton. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Later in the show, we'll have a little interview with my housemate, Clarissa, about a ride share for farm workers and their families that she's involved with. Also, Kara Lewis from Surge, and we'll be talking, and also Dwayne Rainey, talking about being homeless. And now I'm going to play some Black Eyed Peas.
One tribe, one time, one planet, one race. It's all one blood, don't care about your face. Color of your eye or the tone of your skin. Don't care where you are, don't care where you been. Cause where we gonna go is where we wanna be. The place where the native language is unity. And the continent is called Pangea. And the main ideas are connected like a sphere. No propaganda to try to up a hand. It's cause man, I'm loving this peace. Man, I'm loving this peace. Man, I'm loving this peace. I don't need no leader that's gonna force feed her. Concept to make me think I need her. Fear my brother and fear my sister and shoot my neighbor with my big missile. If I had an enemy, if I had an enemy, if I had an enemy, then my enemy's gonna try to come and kill me, cause I'm his enemy. There's one tribe, y'all. We one tribe, y'all. We one tribe, y'all. We are one people. Let's catch amnesia. Forget about all that evil. Forget about all that evil. That evil that they feed you. Let's catch amnesia. Forget about all that evil. That evil that they feed you. Remember that we one people. We are one people. One people, one people, one people. One people, one people, one people. One people, one people, one people. One tribe, one tribe, one tribe, one time, one planet, one race, one love, one people, one. Too many things that's causing one to forget about the main cause, connecting, uniting. But the evil is seeding and alive in us, so our weapons are colliding and our peace is sinking like Poseidon. But we know that the one, the evil one's threatened by the sun, so we come and try to separate the sun. But he dumb, he didn't know we had a war to overcome. Rejuvenate by the beating of the drum, come together by the cycle of the hum. In freedom, one all become one forever. One tribe, y'all. One tribe, y'all. One tribe, y'all. We are one people. Let's catch amnesia. Forget about all that evil. Forget about all that evil. That evil that they feed you. Let's catch amnesia. Forget about all that evil. That evil that they feed you. Remember that we one people. We are one people. One people, one people, one people. One people, one people, one people. One people, one people, one people. One love, one blood, one people. One heart, one beat, we equal.
connected like the internet, united, that's how we do. Let's break walls so we see through, let love and peace lead you. We could overcome the complication, cause we need to help each other make these changes. Brother, sister, rearrange this way of thinking, that we can change this bad condition. Break, use your mind and not your greed. Let's connect and then proceed. This is something I believe. We are one, we're all just people.
One tribe, y'all. One tribe, y'all. One tribe, y'all. We are one people. Let's cast amnesia. Forget about all that evil. Forget about all that evil. That evil that they feed you. Let's cast amnesia. Let's cast amnesia. Forget about all that evil. That evil that they feed you. One tribe, y'all. We one tribe, y'all. One people. One people. One people. One people. One people. One people. Let's cast amnesia.
Lord, help me out. Trying to figure out what it's all about.
What it's all about.
Cause we're one in the same. Same joy, same pain. And I hope that you're there when I need ya. Cause maybe we need amnesia. And I don't wanna sound like a preacher, but we need to be one. One world, one love, one passion. One tribe, one understanding. Cause you and me can become one.
That was Black Eyed Peas with One Tribe. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Next, I have an interview with my housemate, Clarissa Lyons. So, Clarissa, how did you... Tell me about this rideshare thing you're involved in.
So, there's a rideshare mostly organized in Franklin County that gives rides to immigrant farm workers and their families. Mostly, it's a big need because rural transportation is super hard. There's not a lot of options. There is some public transit, but not at the right hours and not from specific places. And it's a dilemma to be in a rural place and stuck with no car, no license, or whatever it is. So the rideshare was an effort to alleviate some transportation needs for people who need to get places, which is everyone.
Who coordinates it, and how did you get involved?
So I got involved through a group of people who meet called the Farm Worker Organizing Committee. But also, it's mostly organized through the Brick House at Turner's Falls, which provides some social services to residents of Turner's Falls and Turner's Falls area. And that's where it's coordinated from. And then lots of people from all over the place, Franklin County, Hampshire County, are all on it and offering to give rides when a request is asked for.
So you were going to some of those meetings, the Farm Worker Organizing Committee meetings?
Yeah, I went to some of the meetings. I also went to the Brick House a few times. This it's just a listserv. The request goes out by email to a whole group of people. So I got my name on that and started getting requests saying, hey, you know, Friday at 9 a.m., someone needs a ride to this doctor's appointment, or someone that needs a ride to an immigration-related appointment, and whatever, just small details, time and place. Can you go here at this time? And you can say yes or no, whether you can do that or not.
So have you ended up giving rides to a bunch of different people, or have you been able to develop a relationship with a regular rider or family?
Some people give rides to lots of different people. I've just given many rides to one family, which has actually been fun. I like that because I have gotten to see the same people multiple times, and you kind of start to get to know them. But some other people have given lots of rides to lots of different people.
How does it feel in terms of like a balanced exchange? Like you're giving them this ride. Do they feel like they're offering something in exchange, or do you feel like it's like, does it feel like charity? What does it feel like?
So they actually pay a little bit for it. It's mostly, we talked a lot about what it should cost, basically for that reason of not creating a culture of dependency and also not creating leaving people feeling like they are feeling like they buy into a service. So not kind of giving them empowerment by having them pay. That's usually the price of gas. And in terms of other relationship, what I've actually really enjoyed is that lots of the rides that I've given have actually been to social spaces. So I'll go and then hang out and meet new people there. And then give a ride back home. And then next event, we'll go somewhere else. And that's really fun for me because I like meeting new people. And also the woman I've given some rides to is also just a total sweetheart and has always given me, you know, home cooked food every time I show up. And so I actually feel like I need to give more to her because she gives me so much.
If people want to get involved, how can they get involved?
Anyone could be, well, actually, there's going to be in the next kind of 1 or 2 months, we're hoping to have a real set of trainings to go through to be a driver. So keep an ear out for that via it's a collaboration right now between the Pioneer Valley Worker Center and the Brick House. So I'm not exactly sure where that announcement about a driver training is going to be.
Okay. I saw on the Pioneer Valley Worker Center Sanctuary in the Streets sign up form, one of the questions is, can you offer rides to immigrants or immigrant families?
Right. Yeah. So Worker Center, that would be a good place to contact, and they'll be able to direct you to a list. This list right now is managed by Abby Grasek at the Brick House. So she is another contact person. So Worker Center would be a great place, especially if you're local to Northampton, to reach out to them and say that you're interested in giving rides. It's fun. It's fun to do something concrete. You just go and it happens and you meet somebody new. And yeah, it's very, very, very tangible.
Cool, thanks. That was my housemate, Clarissa Lyons. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ LP 103.3 FM in Northampton. Next, oh, you know what? Well, Clarissa was talking about the Pioneer Valley Workers Center, which reminds me, one of the things the Workers Center has been working very hard on for the last several months or year, I don't know how long, a couple years, is getting the Northampton City Council to pass a wage theft ordinance. And at the City Council meeting tomorrow night, Thursday night, January 19th, people are invited to come and speak out in support of the ordinance. The City Council meeting is at 7, come early, like at 6:45 or 10 till 7 to sign up to speak. One of the past shows that I did on Out There, I covered the proposed ordinance more in depth. And you can hear Deanna Sierra of the Worker Center talking more about why it should pass. Also, there's an interview with City Councilor David Murphy saying why he didn't support it. And I don't have it up on the screen, the archives, what dates those were. But that's like back in October. You can look at the archives of Pedal People. I mean, sorry, not Pedal People. Of Out There, weatherbeard.com/out there. And there's a lot more information about that. What else? So I think I'm going to play. I feel like I should say a little bit more about the wage theft ordinance, which I think it's basically saying that businesses in Northampton who don't pay their workers legally, fairly, or legally would lose their license. Like right now, the state attorney general's office is where complaints are supposed to go, but the consequences of not paying workers the full wage are minimal for the state. And so if the city can take the power that it has of issuing licenses or not issuing licenses if a business owner is in violation of wage laws, then that's some power the city has to do something about wage theft in our community. And wage theft also disproportionately affects people of color, people with less money, et cetera. So if you can come to the city council meeting tomorrow, Thursday, the 19th, then come on out, downtown Northampton, City Hall, the back building. All right, next I have another interview from Monday's Martin Luther King Day celebration. This is with Carol Lewis, who's involved with Surge, Showing Up for Racial Justice. This interview is at Edwards Church after, like, when events were kind of breaking down, so there's a little bit of background noise of, well, tables being broken down, et cetera. Anyway, let's go.
How did you get involved in Surge?
It was in this very space. Some time ago, they had an Ann Braden movie, a movie about Ann Braden.
Yeah,
it was the first thing that, I think, the first thing that the Surge people who organized this Western Mass Surge did. And at that thing, they said, because National Surge had asked people to do door knocking, that was what Black Lives Matter wanted us to do, knock on people's doors, get them to put those signs in their yards. So I thought, that's great. I need to stop being silent. I need to stop just talking to people that I agree with. I need to do that. So that got me started going to Surge meetings. And I did some tabling and door. I started out doing door knocking, not tabling. And then I was asked to join the coordinating team, which was totally exciting and thrilling to me, mm-hmm. except that the next thing that kind of happened was it, over a period of a couple of months, all the old coordinators, for various sundry good reasons, decided they needed to do something else. So then there was it. So it's been, now there's a group of us, but we didn't know each other to start with, and we're working on keeping it going and getting somewhat more organized, trying to figure out how to bring in so many new people, mm-hmm. especially since the election. Mm-hmm. The mailing list or the email list has, like, almost doubled.
So, do you know how many people are on it?
More than 800 now. And even at the meetings that I went to before that were maybe meetings of 20 to 50 people, every single time there were new people. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that we... But then it feels like the people who do the most of anything else are always the same people. So we haven't figured out how to integrate people. And it's like, I think a lot of people really want to do something and can't quite figure out what to do or how to do it. And I don't know that we know that either. So
it's
a challenge.
Yeah. So what are some of the concrete. That's such a funny way how we think about things being concrete or not, right? It's life. So
yeah,
what are
right.
some of the things that Surge is doing?
We have different work groups now. So we have the outreach group that does tabling like this and door knocking, an art in action group that tries to figure out actions and come up with artistic, creative ways to do things, a communications group that... is helping monitor the communications and write things in a way that makes sense and manage the Facebook page and the website and that kind of stuff. And then there's also the families group, which has been meeting probably maybe more consistently than any other group. There's parents and kids, and they get together and do different things and have probably the most solid part of our relationship with one of our people of color groups, Embrace Race. They're more connected to
the families and the kids.
Yeah, family activities. And how do you raise kids without recreating the same mistakes from before? I mean, it's a challenging.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so when's the next surge meeting, general full group meeting?
January 26th, Thursday, January 26th at the Quaker Meeting House. Probably all. One of the great things we've done is I think it's been announced, but we have a schedule now for the general meetings for the year because we got that squared away with the Quaker Meeting House. It'll be on Tuesday evening 1 week and Thursday, not 1 month, and Thursday the next month. So hopefully we don't have always the same people who can't come. Uh-huh. That was the goal of doing it in different nights anyway.
Any idea what will happen at that meeting or what the structure might be like?
I expect the structure will be very similar to what it's been in the past. There'll be some part at the beginning and then a breakout into working groups. One thing I know that will be different is that this time, especially because there's so many new people, besides the working group breakout, there'll be a breakout for people who are new to have just some basic sort of, so what is surge and what is white supremacy and what is my role in this and how do we move forward? It's one of the things that we've talked about a lot is that we realize there's huge amounts of new people, but we don't have any real way to bring them in.
Yeah, like real campaigns.
There's no newbies thing. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that we just are going to finally get organized together is a buddies thing. Uh-huh. So if you're new, or even if you're not new, if you just would like to have somebody else to be a buddy to, like, your kind of racial justice buddy, mm-hmm. somebody that you can talk to about what's going on, what you think about things, what you read, what you might want to do, what mm-hmm. you, like, really would like to do, but you're a little nervous to do it and would like to do it with somebody, then we've just got two people to coordinate that and setting it up. And so the first, before the meeting on the 26th, for a period of time before, if you have already signed up to have a buddy, all those people will be notified and there'll be an initial buddies thing kind of before the meeting. So.
How are you educating yourself on racial justice issues? What's something else you're doing?
Myself. Oh, well, Mount Toby Friends meeting has like maybe two or three members who are people of color. And one of whom at some point said to us all, you guys just don't get it, and I'm not showing you. Here's a reading list. Mm-hmm. So from that, a couple of people said, okay, we will take this up. We'll try to do something with it. And for some period of time, people would get together for an hour from 9 to 10 once a month and do whatever they did. Some of it was read the things in this reading list that this woman had given us. Some of it was whatever else the coordinator thought of, and then he decided he didn't want to do that anymore. And then someone else took it up, and it was mostly a discussion about class instead of race. And then it would look like maybe it was going to not continue, and two of us, myself and another woman, thought, this can't end, and it's not like any of this is solved or done, or we have to keep this going. And one of the things we did was bring to the meeting, we wanted to put a Black Lives Matter sign out up, and we managed to get that to happen. And then we tried to just keep this thing going so that there would be some kind of a discussion or something every month-ish. And we got feedback from people so that three kind of prongs of what we're trying to do are readings like Waking Up White that are about our own lives, mm-hmm. readings like Coates' book Between the World and Me, mm-hmm. which we did two sessions on that. We just did the second one yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing is to be involved in something in the community. And what we've done in that is several now. Two or three times people have gone to work with gardening a community in Springfield from Mount Toby. And so now we will keep doing something. But it's not, I mean, those are kind of the three areas that people said they wanted to do stuff in. And so that's kind of what we're trying to do.
Why is racial justice important to you? How do you prioritize it above other things?
From my reading and understanding and learning things, it has become totally clear to me As Coates says in his book, this country is built on the plunder of black lives. It's been there from the beginning. It's part of who we are and what we do, and we don't want to see it. And we aren't going to get any better at living in the world and living together until we do see it. And now, that attitude of plunder, we plunder black lives, we plunder the earth. And the two things that seem the most important to me are ending racism and dealing with climate change, and they're like this. It's not like these things are not connected. They're totally connected. And our survival depends on it. We can't survive in a world that's racist anymore. We can't survive in a world that we keep thinking the earth is sort of Walmart and everything, and then throwing things in the garbage, you know, just take stuff out of it and throw it in the trash somewhere. The earth can't take that anymore. People refuse to be plundered anymore. We have to figure out. So those things seem basic to me, basic to the survival of anything.
That was Carol Lewis from Surge showing up for racial justice. Look at the Surge Western Mass Facebook page if you want to get connected and get on a mailing list, and you can receive updates of events that are happening. Or maybe you can think of an action or an event that you want to coordinate and let people on the list know. This is Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring.
The Homelessness Marathon radio broadcast brings the voices of the homeless to the nation.
I'm not giving up, and I don't want nobody to feel sorry for me.
Homeless people deserve housing, not shelters.
And we need housing that people can afford.
What we got here is a problem of human beings being treated like refuse. I think probably the solution is some sort of moral awakening.
On Thursday, January 19th, on the eve of the presidential inauguration, the Homelessness Marathon brings a town hall-style discussion about poverty and homelessness for all Americans to consider. That's the Homelessness Marathon, heard Thursday, January 19th, right here on this radio station.
I wish they would do something about getting people off the streets.
All right, so for a lot of the rest of the show, of today's show, I have an interview with Dwayne Rainey talking about his years being homeless. But before I get to that, I'm going to make some more announcements of things coming up this weekend. So many things. On Saturday in Washington, D.C., there's going to be a big Women's March on Washington. I'm going with a bunch of friends. But locally in Northampton on Saturday, there will be like local solidarity marches and events in Northampton at the Unitarian Society on Main Street. From 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., there will be a live stream of the National March and a community organization resource table, and you can learn self-reflective exercises. Also, in Saturday in Greenfield at 12:30 at the Town Common, the Court Square, I believe there's a solidarity march. And at the Boston Commons as well, from 11 to 3, there's a solidarity march. I'm trying to make some signs or figure out signs. So if you got any good ideas for signs and signs, banners, pictures, give me a call, 585-1033, and spread your ideas. Also on Saturday is a Rock Your Rights benefit concert on January 21st in Greenfield. That's from 2 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the Arts Block in Greenfield. It's a benefit concert of female musicians in solidarity with the Women's March on D.C. All money raised at the door will get split between local organization Tapestry and national organization Planned Parenthood. Let's see. The lineup, Catherine Adler, Miriam Massaro, and special guests Esperanza Friel, Casey Opal, Janet Barker-Ryan, Carson O'Keefe, Lexi Weege, Katie Simpson, and Brito Brittany. All right, well, this is Dwayne. Let me stop and say before I run out of time, because I think this interview will take us to the end of the hour. Dwayne also has a show here on Valley Free Radio called My Generation. It plays every Friday from 2 to 4. It's a 70s music show. And Dwayne knows his music. All right, here's Dwayne. Oh, no, no, no. Hang on.
I'm here with Dwayne Rainey. You may have just heard the PSA I just played about the Homelessness Marathon. Dwayne, have you ever been homeless?
I have to say yes. See, when I got out of the military in like 1982, my mother had sold my... There was no home to come home to, so I stayed like with my uncle and for a few months, and then I got a room. And the next thing you know, I was living in my car, like a few months later. All pretty much due to not wanting to pay rent, having a vehicle that I could sleep in and live in. So then came jail. So, and times when I was in jail and got out of jail, they just let me go. Uh-huh. Say, okay, see you later. Like, all right, see you later. And I would see them later. Yeah. So I believe starting in, but pretty much through the late 80s until about 2010, I was either homeless, in jail, maybe in a shelter, and that was my life. And I didn't mind because I could do what I wanted to do, which usually involved drinking. And so I'd live in a tent. I'd live in a barn. I lived in a camper one winter that had no windows, no heat, no electricity. And I was happy. Believe it or not, one person could be happy. I was just like, I don't care. Mm-hmm. So I think the last time that I was in jail for any length of time, when they let me out, I ended up like getting out of the area. And I moved to Boston, where I stayed in a veteran shelter for, I think, maybe 5 months. And then the Call of the Wild was there, and off I went again.
The rest of the time, like, you were born and raised in Florence, and when you were living on the street or in the woods, that was all in the Florence, Northampton area?
Yeah, pretty much. But Boston, I lived right down in the center.
You tell.
Yes. I worked in an open-air produce market. I just couldn't stay in this veteran shelter with, like, a lot of people. And I found a few friends, and I started working at open-air produce market, which is open, like, we set up Thursday, be open Friday and Saturday, and break down Saturday night. And so I would just, me and a friend of mine, my friend Dan, we would just stay there throughout the week, watching other people's stuff, because you got a lot of stuff down there, and tents and setups, and for the produce market. And I had this little job setting up produce orders in the north end of Boston. And then one year...
So when you stayed at the produce market, like, what did your bed... Where did you sleep? How did you take shelter?
Yeah, so you would... Like, a lot of times, I would just, like, put a pallet on top of a watermelon box and just cut out, like, one side, just flop down, so, because there was rats out there, so you just so they'd run underneath whatever. And I'd put that in a tarp over that and throw them a blanket or two, and I'd sleep in a watermelon box.
Those are good quality boxes.
Those are some pretty, I mean, there's some space in there. Not,
and it's thick cardboard, too.
Thick cardboard. I mean, pallet right on top, and yeah, it was all right, but I mean, it's kind of, they're not very big, so I had to cut, like, a ramp in it, not so I could get in or, well, it helped to get in and out, but just so I could stretch my legs out, because we'd be there, and then in the morning, about 4 o'clock, I hear people start yelling your name, Dwayne, where are you? Like, I'm here, so get out and just do it, and on the weekends, we would, during the week, me and my friend Dan and a few other people, we would just stay in what we called the pit, which had all the equipment for the market. And between that and then me working, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day in the north end. So we always had money and we always were drinking. And that's why we fit in so well, because they paid us like dirt at the market. Mm-hmm. And we didn't care because we were drunk, and they didn't care we were drunk because they were paying us crap. Mm-hmm. So it worked out pretty well for everybody. Mm-hmm. Until one summer on the 4th of July, when I wasn't even there, somebody set off a bottle rocket and it went to a huge bin of tarps, and the tarps caught on fire, and the whole pit just burnt down. Mm-hmm. Everyone lost all their stuff. And so we couldn't sit there anymore. And I was like, wow. I mean, everyone's stuff, I seen it, it looked like a picture of from hell or something. There's this black smoke and flames out of this whole area. And so the person who was in charge of the produce market, he said, that's it. No one else is staying in here in the pit. So we had to find someplace else to stay. And I really didn't have another place to stay. So they were doing a big dig in Boston. And just on the other side of the pit and these Jersey barriers was just a brick staging area for the Bricklayers Union down in Boston, that they were doing a whole lot of work, like crosswalks on the roads and things like this for the Rose Kennedy Garden Parkway. And I knew some of them. So I'm like, well, they got to have somebody to watch your bricks.
Don't want anybody running off.
They had some fancy bricks. So I had this chair, and I took it, threw it over the Jersey barrier, put it in by a couple of piles of bricks sitting right there and looking at Blackstone Street and people going by drinking my beer. And the guys in the Bricklayers Union, they just looked at me and said, whatever. And they asked me what was going on, and I told them, like, oh, that really sucks.
That you had lost your place at the market.
Right. And, like, I would help them set up their trucks in the morning. I would help them unload their trucks at night. Mm-hmm. And then I found this, like, white hat. And so they just knew. I said, hey, nobody walking off with any of these bricks while I'm sitting here. And so they had brick security, and that's what I did.
The white hat, the white helmet.
Oh, yeah, I found a white helmet.
It's a
foreman helmet.
Yeah.
So I put it on, they gave me a sticker. So I'd sit in my chair, and they brought me a couch, like an 8-foot couch, and put it against the Jersey barriers, and I had a big spool in my chair. And that's what I would do. During the week, when I wasn't working in the North End, I would just sit there right down and smack dab in the center of Boston. Rent free. It was crazy. But it was great because all the bricklayers, the people working in there, they come walking through in the morning. I'm like, hey, what? You don't knock? And it was a joke. Like, I just walk into your house? I said, oh, sorry, Dwayne. And they just like pretend to knock and say, yeah, whatever. But it was fun. I mean, and then...
Wait, was it cold?
Well, no. I mean, I was used to being outside anyways, because the open-air produce market is outside. And in the wintertime... So I found this big, heavy-duty tarp. And then this person who's... he was like a... the treasurer for the Bricklayer Union, who brought me the couch. He goes, "Hey, man, my wife wanted to throw out this big, like, queen-size blanket. You want it?" I'm like, "Yeah, bring it over." So I had this big queen-size blanket on this big 8-foot couch, and I had this heavy-duty tarp over it. And I just go in here like a little squirrel, and next thing you know, I whip it off me in the morning. There could be snow or something like that, but I was nice and toasty, and I didn't care. So, yeah, I lived rent-free in Boston for like almost 4 years.
Wow.
And then I came back here, and it was just, I don't know, it was not really jail. But the last summer that I was out, we had a space down in the Meadows, and it was on federal property. Mm-hmm. And so, like, the Northampton police couldn't do anything to us. And we knew that. So as soon as we took one step on there, we were good. And the only people that could arrest us was, like, the game warden. And the game warden would come in every once in a while, and he'd look at us. He'd say, "Hey, you guys got a pretty nice setup here," because there's 4 or 5 tents. Mm-hmm. And we was, you know, we're not in town. We're out in our own area. And every once in a while, a local police would come in. I'd say, "What do you want?" "So we're looking for somebody." I'm like, "They're not here, so, you know, beat it." And we would just be sitting there with our little fire and drinking our beer or whatever we were doing. And that's where we lived. Yeah, so that was like, but during this time, there's also some detoxes and like a lot of them. Yeah. Yeah. And then I went to a shelter. So all in all, between jail and being outside, I spent, I'd say, around 18 years of kind of being homeless. Mm-hmm. And, but it was by choice. Well, that, and I mean, I couldn't even get a room in a Northampton lodging, and they'll rent to anybody. Mm-hmm. But they wouldn't rent to me. I don't know. Just my reputation.
Here comes trouble.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, no, no. And I never even lived there. I'm like, "Well, you got to give me a shot, dude." Uh-huh. And they would, yeah, they gave me a shot, all right.
Uh-huh. When you would stay in the shelter, how did that compare to staying in the Meadows or somewhere where you were, like, outside but on your own terms?
I think, I wouldn't, even in Boston, I mean, it would have to be, like, super bad. There'd have to be, like, a storm on the coast for me and my friend Dan to, like, I'm like, "Come on, Danny, we're going to Long Island tonight," which would be, it's an island off, about an hour outside of Boston. Mm-hmm. And there was a shelter. There was a big, like, big shelter. It was, like, one road on and off the island. Mm-hmm. So we'd go, we'd stay there and get bussed out like 5 in the morning, be back in Boston to take and just get going. But unless it was like really, really bad, I'm not going to stay in a shelter. Mm-hmm. And in Boston, your shelter's down there, Pine Street. You sleep with your boots on. If you don't sleep with your boots on, you keep boot laces wrapped around you use them for a pillow and keep the boot laces around because they'll just steal your shoes, your mm-hmm. sneakers, anything just to steal it. It's like a really, really bad shelter. And I wouldn't like staying there. I'd rather be outside. I mean, not under the stars all the time, but the first year I lived out there outside, it wasn't in the center of Boston. I would go take the train and go like 10 miles outside of Boston. Mm-hmm. This little area in Wellington. And I had a tent and everything out there. Down turned out to be by the Mystic River. But and I'd just be out of Boston because you can get, if you sleep in Boston Common or pass out in Boston Common, you're just asking for trouble because you're going to get rolled on. Mm-hmm. So it could be dangerous. So I'd try and make sure that I'd be in a spot that wasn't, nobody knew where I was. Mm-hmm. If you don't know where I am, Well,
do you think that your experience being homeless largely by choice? Actually, I don't even like to use the word homeless because you had a home. It was the Meadows, or it was downtown, or it was
$29.99, and you're never homeless. Dome, sweet dome. Just go to Walmart and get a tent. You're not homeless.
Yeah, now and I saw a lot of those on our walk in the Meadows on Sunday in trash heap piles, like abandoned campgrounds. But so, do you think your experience being homeless or being unhoused largely? Well, by choice on some level. Do you think that's made you less compassionate for people who are homeless without choice? Or do you think it's made you more compassionate having that experience?
Well, like, I worked at ServiceNet for 3 years. I mean, because my last shelter, I wasn't planning on going to a shelter. And I just got out of another detox, like my 30th or 40th or something, I don't know. And I went to a shelter one night because my brother, he's like, got sober and blah, blah, blah. And then the next night I wound up in Greenfield. I really didn't have much else to do, so I'd just go to a meeting and see some friends. And I wound up somehow, like, getting sober. And within 3 months, I got a room in Florence where I grew up.
Uh-huh, through ServiceNet.
Yeah. And so I had my own place. I was like, all right, this isn't bad. Uh-huh. The rent isn't bad. I got a door that locks. So I just went with it.
Wait, can you talk about your boots the first night?
Oh, no, that was like
first couple
of months. Yeah, because when you're in the street, you don't take your boots off. I mean, not unless you know that you're safe, and you always... So, it was about 3 months, and I was watching TV one night, and my feet were burning, because I'd been in my boots and walking around and doing things, like a lot of stuff all day, I forget what. Like, ugh, my boots, man, my feet. And then I had this epiphany, it's like, hey, well, just take your boots off. I was like, wow, what a concept. Because I could take them off and I could just put them there, and if my feet stunk, so what? And nobody was going to take my boots, mm-hmm. and my feet would get some air. I was like, wow, yeah, this is my own place. I can, like, actually take my boots off and just not even worry about anything.
You've been listening to Duane Rainey. This is Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ 103.3 FM in Northampton. Democracy Now! Is coming up at 5 o'clock. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. But before Democracy Now! Comes in, I have one more announcement to make. I just received a phone call letting me know that in Florence, here this Saturday, there will also be a Women's March. People are meeting at 12:30 at the Sojourner Truth statue that's on the corner of Pine and Park Streets, right outside the studio. And the march will end at 3:30 at Descendants Studio, which is... It's in the plaza where the Great Wall restaurant is. And for more information, you can contact Tiffany Joseph at 341-3780. Thanks for listening to Out There today. And courage, strength, compassion, understanding, all those great things to everyone going forward. Here's a little bit of drumming from Urban Thunder. They played at a Standing Rock event on Monday. Mm-hmm.